Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you call people to share your message with people to save people. And Lord, for that message that we thank you tonight, the message that your Son came to die for our sin, which is our hope, Lord, and our future. So Lord, we pray that as we come underneath your word, that you would please give us ears to hear, minds to know, hearts to feel, and faith to see. Faith not just to see what you have done for us in Jesus, but the faith to see what you would use us for him. So Lord, this is our earnest prayer, and we thank you for the privilege of gathering as your people here beneath your word. And we give thanks in his name. Amen. Well, have you ever been in a situation where you had to wait for some important news? And the longer you had to wait, the more anxious you became. Maybe it was waiting to hear whether or not that you landed that dream job. Maybe it was waiting to hear how you or your child did on that exam. Maybe it was waiting to hear that a loved one arrived safely at a destination. Or maybe it was waiting to hear back on a medical result. Will the news be good? Will the news be bad? How long do I have to wait? Well, if ever you've been in one of those moments anxiously waiting to hear back on some important news, then you would have some idea of what the Apostle Paul was going through as he wrote the words before us tonight. For as we heard last week, things had been going amazingly well in Thessalonica. In less than a month, people from all over the city were coming to faith in the Lord Jesus. And just as things were really starting to take off, a situation arose where Paul had to leave the city immediately and was unable to return. And so the question that kept running through his mind over and over again was what had come of their faith. Did their faith survive? Are they still walking with Christ, or did they walk away from him when I walked away from them? And so twice in these verses leading up to tonight's passage, Paul says he could stand it no longer. In other words, the anxiety and the concern over what have come of their faith had become so great he couldn't wait any longer. He had to know, which is why he sent Timothy. And as we arrive at tonight's reading, Paul's anxious wait is over. For Timothy walks into the scene with news from Thessalonica. And it is good news. And so Paul's great anxiety turns into great joy. So how connected are you to those around you at church? How affected are you by their faith? Does their walk with the Lord Jesus move you in any way? Does it bring you any joy, and how often do you pray for them? Or are they just people who you just happen to sit beside each week? I know that hearing these questions can make us feel uncomfortable, for they collide with what's acceptable to our Western culture. A culture that says it's okay to talk about things like work and sport and what we did on the weekend, but it's not okay to talk about anything spiritual. Because to talk about anything spiritual would be far too personal, so we just can't go there. But praise God that the Apostle Paul didn't buy into the censorship of Western culture. For tonight, we are going to be given a beautiful picture of just how much one believer can be connected to and affected by and praying for the faith of others. Because Paul understood, perhaps better than anyone else, who we are in Christ has direct implications for who we are to one another. And who we are to one another has direct implications for who we are in Christ. Elsewhere, Paul said it like this. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. So in order to see that picture, in order to see that beautiful picture of connectedness and effectiveness and prayerfulness between believers in the hope that we might have the courage to look the same, please open your Bibles with me, if you're not there already, to 1 Thessalonians 3, starting at verse 6. Well, in the closing verses of chapter 2, we learn just how much the Thessalonians truly meant to Paul. He described them as his hope, his joy, his crown, and his glory. And as wonderful as that description is, it wouldn't even be worth the paper it's written on now if they have walked away. Which brings us to this moment of reckoning here in chapter 3, verse 6. As Timothy walks in with news concerning their faith, and this is what is said. But Timothy has just now come to us from you and has brought us good news about your faith and love. He has told us that you always have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us just as we also long to see you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. For now we really live, since you are standing firm in the Lord. What words could more express how much their faith and love meant to Paul? For now we live. Not only did their faith confirm to Paul that his labor wasn't in vain, it gave him reason to live. The Greek word that Paul uses for Timothy's report about their faith is the same word, the same Greek word that the New Testament uses for the gospel itself. His report is literally good news. The news that they are standing firm in the Lord is just as good as the news, as the gospel itself. It is up there on that level, and so it should be. Because think of the alternative. Think of what it would have meant and how Paul would have felt if Timothy walked in and said, you know what? All of them have just walked away. Recently at a dinner, someone asked me, what is the hardest thing that you have to deal with in ministry? And that's a big question because there can be a lot of hard things that you have to deal with in ministry. You can be called into a hospital or a situation where someone has just died and you're the one who's expected to offer some words of comfort. Often to people that you don't even know. You may also have to help people deal with the pain of things like abuse or trauma or at risk of divorce or undertake church discipline, and that's never fun. You know, there are a lot of things in ministry that can be hard to deal with, but without even hesitating, I looked at them and said, the hardest thing is when someone walks away. When someone makes the decision to no longer follow Jesus. That's the hardest thing in ministry. And you don't even have to be a minister to feel that pain. People walking away is the worst thing, which is what makes people standing firm the best thing. Paul would even go as far as to say that it gives the rest of us reason to live. Friends, whether or not you know it, your faith is so much bigger than you, because we belong to one another, which is why that your efforts to stand firm amidst the trials you face encourages us to stand firm in ours. Or as Paul says, for now we live. Well, it was a wonderful thing to hear good news concerning the Thessalonians' faith. But Paul wants them to know it does not and it must not end there. After asking the rhetorical question of praise in verse 9, he then says in verse 10, night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. So Paul still hasn't given up on seeing them again. And as you follow the sequence of verse 10, you realize that he doesn't want to just see them for old time's sake. He doesn't want to see them just to have a couple of laughs over a few beers. No, what he wants to see them for is, quote unquote, to supply what is lacking in their faith. So he wants them to know that their coming to faith in Christ was only the beginning, because their faith is still lacking. It is deficient. It has need. It has need of being supplied. Supplied so that it can know more and more. Do you know what the biggest danger is for a new convert? It's ignorance. It is a lack of spiritual knowledge. And this was really brought home to me a while ago when I spoke to a mate of mine who serves as a missionary in China. I remember asking him, you know, how's it going over there on the ground? And he said, tough. So I asked him, well, what's making it tough? Is it the Chinese government? Is it infighting within the mission organization? Is it a lack of financial support? I mean, what is it? And he said, no, it's none of that. He said, what is making it tough is all the heresy. He mentioned one in particular that's called Lightning from the East, which gets its name from Matthew 24, 27, and leads many Chinese converts away from the faith still to this day. And so then I asked, well, how can we help you back home other than pray? I mean, what do you need? Do you need more Bibles? And he said, no. What we need is more theology. He said the Bible was translated into Chinese a century ago. He said, we've got plenty of those. He said, what we need now is translations of good doctrine. Because the people don't have access to the rich doctrinal heritage that guys like you in the West take for granted. And so the people are willing to listen to and be led astray by anything. And even though that danger is no doubt there for new believers, The reality is, it is always there for every believer. Because there is never a point at which our faith isn't in some way lacking. And I preach this to myself before anyone else. As we heard this morning, when speaking about knowing Christ in Philippians 3, Paul confesses even he hasn't obtained or arrived or taken hold of all there is to know. And so if the Apostle Paul felt his own knowledge of the things of our faith was lacking, then how much more should we? If the guy who had seen the Lord, who'd been caught up into the third heaven and who wrote much of the New Testament under divine inspiration, if that guy still felt he had more ground to travel in knowing the things of our faith, then how much more should we? Paul prayed night and day that he'd be able to see them so he could supply what was lacking in their faith. Because he knew the best way to keep fortifying someone's faith was to keep filling up their theology. Which is why no child of God should ever be content with theological milk, knowing that there are always more solids. So are you doing everything you can to supply what is lacking in your faith? Are you listening to podcasts? Are you reading theology? Are you attending a growth group, a one-on-one? You know, are you paying attention in sermons? Don't answer that now. Because a believer who is not content to grow theologically is a believer who's in trouble. Because the irony is this. The desire to stand still so often leads to the desire to walk. Which is why we should never grow tired of knowing more things that are eternal. Because these are the truths that save us. Well, when we come to the closing verses of this chapter, the Apostle Paul just breaks out into open prayer. And it becomes clear that their faith knowledge isn't the only thing that he wants them to increase. For in verse 12, he also wants their love to not just increase, but to overflow for one another and for everyone else. They are to be a people of ever-increasing, inundating, indiscriminate love. They are to love everyone in the same way that Paul, Silas, and Timothy love them. And as that love spills over into the next verse, into verse 12, it becomes evident that that love has a formative purpose. It provides the context in which God will strengthen their hearts. Now, unfortunately, the NIV omits the conjunction which makes the strong connection between verse 12 and 13 that's there in the Greek. And so what Paul's saying is that the abundance of divinely driven love between believers, it provides the setting, the context, the environment in which God strengthens our hearts. So have you ever thought of Christian love in that way? Have you ever thought of your requirement to love those around you tonight as being essential for their spiritual growth? As the necessary forum God uses for them to become everything he has called them to be. Or to borrow Paul's language, to become blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father and at the coming of our Lord with all his saints. Because how you love them now affects what they will have become then. Well, recently I read an article on child development that spoke of the importance for children to grow up in a loving home. And the article said that the studies are virtually unanimous in showing that children develop better off physically and emotionally, psychologically and socially when they grow up in an environment of love. One psychologist was quoted in the article in saying that it doesn't matter which way you look at it, you just can't deny the data. Love does make a difference. Love is essential for a child to have any hope of reaching its full potential. Friends, the people who are sitting around you tonight are required to reach an enormous potential, just as you are. Like you, they are required to become blameless and holy in the context of grace. And for that to happen, God is going to have to strengthen their heart. And here Paul is telling you that you get to contribute to the process that gives them one. Because what they need is love. Your love. Your love for them is the environment in which God strengthens their hearts for them to become blameless and holy in His presence and at the coming of our Lord. So just before Paul turns the page on this chapter, chapter 3, just before he turns his attention to the more practical matters of how they are to live, Paul gives them this beautiful picture of connectedness and affectedness and prayerfulness that leads to holiness. Friends, verse 13 reminds you of what you already know. Jesus is coming. So are you relating to those around you at church in a way that reflects that? Or are you relating to them in a way that more reflects the unwritten laws of Western culture, where we try and keep each other at arm's length because anything spiritual is considered far too personal to discuss, let alone be part of. So know that your faith is bigger than you. Never tire in filling up what is lacking in your faith knowledge, and love one another on this day, so that you can help each other appear holy and blameless on that day when our Lord comes. Let's pray. Father, we just want to thank you tonight for this wonderful picture that we are given from Paul. This picture of believers being connected to and affected by and praying for the faith of one another. Lord, we admit that this unwritten law, this latent pressure from our culture makes us hesitant to speak about spiritual matters with one another, even within your church. And so, Lord, we pray for your grace. We pray that it would enable our love to overflow and to be ever increasing, that in so doing you will strengthen our hearts and help us be connected to and love one another. Lord, we just want to thank you for Jesus. We know that without his death, none of this would be possible. And we pray that you would give us an awareness that he is coming, and how you use your people to help each other appear more and more like him. And how we pray that you would help us to do that as we wait for that day. And it's in his name that we now pray. Amen.